they could screen grab that and then be able to read one paragraph of one chapter. But
if I may, add just one comment about what they're looking at there with the Thoth or Thoth.
Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
Egyptian god. It's kind of interesting because that's a chapter, that's the third chapter, where we document this relationship between the New Age movement and satanic philosophy or Luciferian philosophy. And, you know, we document how throughout history from, you know, the Theosophical Society and Helena Blavatsky through Aleister Crowley, through Alice Bailey, some of these, like Gerald Gardner, some of these big name occultists, they always had fascination with demonic sacrifice and human blood and Lucifer and this sort of Gnostic interpretation of scripture where Yahweh is the bad guy and Lucifer is this bringer of light coming to awaken humanity up. And so we document that. And then to answer this objection that people might have that, well, the New Age movement's not like that anymore. You know, there's no Luciferian philosophy anymore in the New Age movement, aside from the fact that spiritual Satanism or theistic Satanism, they practice the exact same things that New Agers practice.
Yes.
How to open your third eye, how to cleanse your chakras, how to leave your body, how to induce a trance-like state when you're going into transcendental meditation, how to do yoga. All these things that are taught in spiritual Satanism, it's parallel to the New Age movement. That's why the founder of the Church of Satan, Anton LaVey, he accused the New Age movement of stealing from Satanism and then just removing the devil's name off of the same philosophy and the same practice. And we document that in the book. It's interesting. But Lucifer worked his name into the Spirit Science series. There's this really popular YouTube series. I love the guy who made it. His name's Jordan. And, you know, God loves him. He's amazing. He's an amazing person. But this deception, it did creep in one of the videos called The Human History Movie. It's got millions of views on YouTube. And in there, he talks about the Lucifer experiment, where Lucifer wanted to kind of be his own rock star and didn't want to go along with the groupthink anymore. And he broke away with this sect of angels to go try a new experiment, to go do something new. And when you look at where he's sourcing his material from, he's sourcing his material from someone named Drunvalo Melchizedek, who wrote the Ancient Secret of the Flower of Life books 1 and 2. And if you read in that book, this is interesting, if you read in that book where he believes he got his material from, the second volume, he believes he got it from Thoth. He believes that he channeled this from Thoth. He received this information from Thoth. And in that book that inspired the entire Spirit Science YouTube series, you know, and the Facebook page, which I believe has like 15 million likes. I was an author for a while on that website. The YouTube channel, I think, almost has 1 million subscribers. That material is inspired by a book written by someone who believes he channeled Thoth. And this material, if you read the book as we document, he does kind of glorify Lucifer. He paints him in this sort of heroic context where he was this bringer of wisdom. And he says he even saw Lucifer and Archangel Michael holding hands. And Thoth has always, throughout history, even by New Agers themselves, it's funny because the New Age material itself, if you look at Thoth's history throughout these ancient cultures as allegedly occurred via, you know, channeled material, is saying that Thoth apparently visited all these ancient cultures. All the cultures he apparently visited were obsessed with human blood sacrifice, and he was the god of religion and ritual. So here's this Egyptian god who apparently has visited all these other cultures, and you know, Dr. Sasha Lesson, he's an archaeologist and a New Ager. He believes that Quetzalcoatl in the Mayan culture was actually a different incarnation or different manifestation, I should say, of Thoth. And, you know, Quetzalcoatl was obsessed with human sacrifice. It's some of the most brutal ritual that went on in the ancient world. They'd cut people open alive and open up their hearts to them. And this is the deity, this is the entity who apparently gave Drunvalo Melchizedek the information that became the Spirit Science YouTube series. So I don't know what to call this other than the teachings of demons. I don't know what to call it other than that. So that's an interesting segment in the book. It's a picture of Thoth, but we document in there how, even at the most popular levels, where it seems so harmless, you got these cute cartoon characters. Even Thoth has his own cartoon character. But even there, you are seeing Luciferian origins in the material and in the material itself, with the Lucifer experiment and so forth. Initially, I mean, I was born and raised Christian. So in a nutshell, in a few sentences, I was born and raised Christian, fell away from the faith because I got into ancient astronaut theory. The Ancient Aliens program led me down a rabbit hole where through that program, I started researching more forbidden knowledge, I guess you could say, secret knowledge, which led to different spiritual philosophies like Buddhism, which led to mind science, which led to parapsychology and the evidence for, you know, just research going into reincarnation or near-death experiences and what have you. And that ended up leading me just full-blown into being a promoter of this stuff online, a blogger and a writer online. And I started a website in February of 2014 called spiritscienceandmetaphysics.com. And very popular at the time, was getting hundreds of thousands of views a day, millions and millions of views a month. Not only that, there's millions of shares on some of these articles, which I still haven't seen on other websites, articles having, you know, 2, 3, 4 million shares on them, which goes to show you the immense hunger people have for this type of content that deals with the supernatural, that deals with life after death and with immortality and eternal life and so forth. And so January of 2014, launched my website, was extraordinarily successful in terms of the world standards, making, you know, 40 grand, 50 grand a month in ad revenue off of this website. And because the website traffic was just so prominent, and I reached a place in my sin life where my brokenness, my sin started finding me out, plain and simple. I had to start confessing it to people around me in my life, and I was just broken. And in a moment of brokenness, my mother, who had raised me Christian, or at least with a Christian worldview, I'm not sure if I was ever really born again. I might have been when I was like 12 or something. I might have been technically saved at that point. I don't know if I fell away or if I was never truly born again. But she's like, "Are you ready to give your life to the Lord yet?" So I was like, "Okay, I'll say a prayer." I said a prayer, a salvation prayer. Went to a church service that night. It was actually like a Pentecostal revival tent meeting. And it was okay. And nothing changed for about 2 weeks, but there was like a seed planted, a seed of faith, a seed of curiosity about the Lord. Because in the New Age movement, we'll talk about this a little later, in the New Age movement, there are so many different theories about who Jesus is and what he really taught. What are the real teachings of Jesus? Yeah, we know what the Gospels say. We know what the early church says. But what are the real teachings? Like, what did he really mean? You know what I mean? Like, there's some esoteric, you know, ultra spiritual, ultra metaphysical meaning to some of these things that Jesus says. When you read them, it's like he's very clearly a Jew. He was a Jewish monotheist. He was a Jewish rabbi. He kept all the high feast days. He was a monotheist. He believed that there was one God and that it was the God of Israel. He believed that he had special authority from him. And through that authority, he was able to do miracles. He believed that he called himself the Son of God. He called himself the Son of Man, a reference to divinity from the book of Daniel. He claimed to be the I Am in John 8:58. He said, "Before Abraham was, I am." He claimed to be one with the Father. He said, "I and my Father are one." Jesus claimed to be the second person of the Trinity, of Yahweh. And there's nothing, you know, Eastern, there's nothing esoteric, there's nothing Gnostic about the ministry of Jesus. If you just read it and you read, you know, the works of those who actually lived with him and traveled with him in ministry, like the Pauline epistles, they're Jews who became Christians. That's all it is. So basically, I knew there was something more to Jesus because of how much people try to go out of their way to account for the person of Christ and the New Age movement. That was a red flag for me. Why are, you know, people like Deepak Chopra, people like David Wilcock, people like Eckhart Tolle, people like Marianne Williamson so fervent in going out of their way to try and account for the person of Jesus? Why is he such a threat to them? Why is he always the one they're trying to incorporate into their worldview and try to have an explanation for? And the answer is obvious. He's a force to be reckoned with. But the problem is they aren't being intellectually honest with the text. They're doing eisegesis, not exegesis. They're reading their own personal preferences and biases into the text to find a Jesus, to create a Jesus for themselves, as I did, who suits them, who happens to look like them, who happens to believe the same things they believe, who's non-confrontational. And so when I got to this point of brokenness in my life, I was like, okay, Lord, I'm going to open myself up to you as you really are, as you truly are. I'm not going to try and fit you into some paradigm anymore. I want the real Jesus. I want the real version of you. 2 weeks passed by and nothing really changed in my life, but my conscience was going crazy. It was quickening. And I had to confess just really another round of sin that I was involved in. And that's when I kind of saw myself in the mirror. God's word's meant to be a mirror. It's meant to read us. You know, we're to read the Bible, and the Bible's to read us. It judges the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And the Holy Spirit was doing something in my conscience for once, where I was like completely overwhelmed under the weight of my sin. And I knew that I hadn't just sinned against people. I had sinned against God, that there was a holy God who I had sinned against, and I needed his forgiveness. And I fell at his feet one night, and the feet of the Lord, and I was just weeping before him in a moment of brokenness, but actual repentance. I was done. That was my moment of surrender. And it was just a desperate cry for help. And he was my only hope. I was just done playing games with him and with my life. And I don't know how else to put it other than he met me there and he revealed himself to me. It was tangible. It was powerful. His presence engulfed me. It surrounded me. It filled me. And I was sober. People asked me, were you on DMT? Were you on psychedelics? No, I was completely sober, but it was a supernatural experience in the presence of the Lord. And it completely changed me. I was born again in that moment. And I knew it was that Jesus was the Son of God, that it was simple, not complex. That's why Jesus says you have to be like a child to get it. It's not complex. Otherwise, children couldn't get it. Jesus, he always tells us there's at least probably 4 or 5 places where he likens those who will enter the kingdom of God as being those who are like these little children.
Right.
Who are running to him, who are submitted to him, who have this childlike trust toward him. And the simplicity of it was mind-blowing. Jesus died for my sins. He's the Son of God. He's the Lord. That's it. He is who he claimed to be. That's it. And what blew me away was the implicit in his presence was knowing where I stood in regard to his creative order. Like, he was Lord over me. He was the Lord over the universe. He had absolute kingship and sovereignty over everything in creation. And in that lordship and in that, in that power, that sovereignty, he chose to set his love upon me and his mercy and his grace upon me. And it was this overwhelming sense of, oh my gosh, this is the real deal. This is the man. This is God in the flesh revealing himself to me. But there was also this gentleness and this forgiveness and this grace being poured in. And I was getting filled as I was crying out these tears and putting these requests up to God to be forgiven and to be heard. I was putting those out as I was getting filled with the Spirit, and I went back inside, and that's when I quit my job. That's when I knew Christianity was the correct worldview, not because I'd been convinced by some external argument or a new set of propositions, but because I had the Spirit of God living in me now, and the Spirit of God living in me assented to a certain set of facts about Jesus and about the Father, and about the afterlife. He was bearing witness to the Christian worldview. He was bearing witness to the words and teachings of Jesus, as Jesus said he will do. I didn't know who the Holy Spirit was. I didn't know what the inner witness of the Holy Spirit was. I didn't know the Bible said what Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will bear witness of me and testify of me. He'll convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He'll bring you to remembrance of the things that I said. It's called the Spirit of Jesus. He's called the Spirit of Jesus, I should say, because the Holy Spirit is a personal spirit, yes, not some kind of energy force in the universe. And that's something I wish I would have known when I was in the New Age movement. But after that, after I got born again, in that 5-minute experience, if you will, in the presence of the Lord, I quit my job and sold my house, sold my car. And I've been, doing ministry now full time. I have a YouTube channel, which is just my name, Stephen Bancars, and a website, reasonsforjesus.com. And some of you, I recognize some of you in here, like Barbara Briggs and some people who've been following me for years. I believe Katie died and There's another one, Tatiana. I saw her. People who've just been, you know, incredibly supportive to me in ministry. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it. So that was 3 years ago. I'm still living in my parents' basement. And so some people have accused me when I came to Christ, they were like, okay, Steve, you're doing this because you know Christianity is a bigger market and you did a kind of bait and switch. And I was like, okay, so show me then, you know, show me the bank statements that demonstrate all this money I now have now that I'm a Christian, from going from 40 grand a month to losing money every single month to being in the red each month.
And you had a pretty big house too. You showed pictures of it in your testimony, a video. I mean, it was, I don't have that big of a house. I mean, that must have been, I would think to a normal person that there's a part of me that would think that would have been hard to walk away from. But at the same time, I understand that probably wasn't really hard for you to walk away from because you were walking towards truth.
Right. Well, it wasn't hard to walk away from. Now, is it more pleasurable and preferable to live in a 4,000 square foot house with 26 foot tall ceilings than to live in my parents' basement? Yeah, it's more preferable. But it was easy to walk away from because simply because I knew the truth, and I knew that, and I was comforted and nourished by the truth. I guess I had my needs met for the first time in my life. I had all of my spiritual needs met. And so the house didn't represent anything to me other than my old life. It didn't fill any need I had anymore regarding this perpetual desire to, you know, flaunt my success or earn the approval of man. I was like, okay, I'm loved by God. I'm saved. This is the truth. And the next extension of this, like when I came to Christ, when I got into like a local church, a Pentecostal church, I mean, I was getting rocked over and over again. The Lord was so merciful to me, giving me really powerful experiences in his presence, really powerful revelations of him where I was just floored. And it was supernatural interactionism with the Lord that made it so easy. It's not like I had this, you know, this trophy up on the shelf of some, you know, one-off experience I had with Jesus. And now I refer to that experience to try and draw or extract motivation to sell my house and give my life. It was an ongoing experience. Things were happening weekly, you know, bi-daily, daily. And even when things weren't happening that were supernatural, where he was really ministering to me, like there was one time where he woke me up in the middle of the night to peace. I woke up at like 4 a.m. and he woke me up because it was just this incredible blanket of peace in the house. And you described that before, Josh. You know what that's like.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He was revealing to me like he's the Prince of Peace and I'm in his will now. And when you have things like that happening, selling a house, it's nothing. You know, it's the Lord. So yeah, it was very easy to walk away from that stuff because I had been filled with the truth. And I was drinking up the word every single day. I was just in the word. And when you understand what's on the line here, like eternity's on the line.
Yes.
Like your eternal destiny depends upon how you respond to the person of Jesus. And I knew that I had tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people who had been following me who needed to know the gospel. And I needed to share the gospel with them. And I couldn't do that by writing New Age articles and having my New Age website anymore. So I had to tank that site. And then I lost my income from that site. And I couldn't afford the house even. But I didn't care because there was something that took greater priority than pleasure, namely eternity, and extremely easy to walk away. And I'm glad I did.